A reading from St. Mark's Gospel. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested and had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you." And he promised her with an oath, "Whatever you ask, I will give you, up to half my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" "The head of John the Baptist," she answered. At once the girl hurried in to the king with a request. "I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oath and his dinner guest, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing of this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Gosh, what a great scripture to start off a conference, isn't it? So, who did that? David? I just don't know what's going on. I'd like to take a brief moment here at the beginning to welcome everyone to the Cathedral Church of the Advent on behalf of Frank Limehouse, the dean here at the Advent. He called me this afternoon and asked that I would extend a welcome and his very, very great apologies that he can't be here tonight. The Bishop of Alabama, Henry Parsley, is retiring, as many of us would know. In January, in his retirement party. Henry's retirement party is tonight, and so Frank was necessarily there. He hasn't yet figured out how to be in two places at one time. So Frank sends his hellos. He's looking forward to being with us all tomorrow. But tonight, I asked Robin to read that scripture, a very strange scripture, sanitized and cleaned for human consumption, at least New Testament consumption, but there's obviously so much there. And what I'd like to do in the first of my two little devotions as the chaplain here, my privilege to be so at this conference, is to think first about hunger. Herod, hunger. It seems like there's a connection to me. We know from our other scriptures, the Gospel of Bruce, everybody has a hungry heart. Everybody has a hungry heart. We can't help but have a hungry heart. He takes that out, Bruce Springsteen does, of a line from an Alfred Lord Tennyson poem, Ulysses, which said that everyone is always roaming with a hungry heart. We know this implicitly, I think, from our day-to-day experience, this sense of roaming, our souls as nomads, or the great themes in literature which we sometimes pick up on as the misunderstood king. If Simeon were here, he and I would connect on that when we're there a lot. I can't get no satisfaction, just the press, the hunger for the newer, the better, the bigger, the more improved, the upward mobility, the track always increasing. The entire industry, bar none, of everything that has to do with any type of fashion is built on what is implicitly known in our day-to-day experience of the roaming and searching hunger of the human heart. Augustine, of course, nailed it in his great one-liner, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in thee." Addictions of all stripes find their way into this hunger. The root causes of human relationships. Indeed, the very core of everything that seems to be Mockingbird, if you follow the blog at all, zombies and vampires are all about hunger. And I finally get it. It's flesh and blood. The hunger. The Eucharist, obviously. Hunger. 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 The theme itself of hunger, it seems easily grasped and easily understood. But here's a problem. If all of us are always roaming around with a hungry heart, here's the issue. I'm still waking up with myself. It's still there. It's the, what is it, Dilbert? Somebody, one of those cartoons, you know, wherever you go, there you are. Always there. Always with the hungry heart. So here's the text. If there's a Bible family that needs to be made into a reality show, it's got to be Herod's. Herod the Great, the father of this dysfunctional family, he's the one that we know who slaughtered the innocents. Then the Herod that we heard about a few minutes ago with Robin, that's one of Herod the Great's sons. And then Salome, who's the young girl, probably the teenager, who danced the dance that made the impetuous promise happen. That was at once Herod's, and I'm going to miss some of this, that was at once Herod's niece, because it was his half-brother's daughter, but then since he married his half-brother's wife while his half-brother was still alive, that also made her his stepdaughter. And so Salome was Herod's daughter, stepdaughter, and niece all at the same time. And then later she married another uncle. I mean, this really is... this is the family tree that does not branch. And it's all about hunger. It's all about hunger. Here, Herod, as he goes through this story, making the impetuous promise, half the kingdom, because he had invited the military rulers and the leading men of the age, his cowardice, perhaps we could say, made him stand good on the promise. The hunger for what? Well, the hunger to keep the score even, the hunger not to let things go down, to get on with it, to make sure that Herod was in the position that he had to be in. The hunger to follow. Away from that, really, to come more on a personal level, an internal level for each one of us. Hunger. What are the hungers that we find in Herod that are present with each one of us? I'm going to say two. There's a lot more, but I'm just going to say two. A hunger to please my audience and a hunger to have my context known. The first, a hunger to please my audience, and the second, a hunger to have my context known. The first one, hungry to please my audience. We all have an audience, every single one of us. Who's yours? Who's your audience? Easy enough to see who Herod's audience was. It was obviously all of the dinner guests, the creme de la creme that he invited that night, that he had to save face and that his wife so shrewdly sort of backed him into the corner. But who's your audience? Who's your audience? Who's keeping tabs on you? Who's the one that you imagine is always grading you, always keeping the score? Who's the one that... Who's the person that's in your life that it seems like everything, every single thing, is either in proaction or reaction to? That person. Is it your mother? Is it your dead father? Maybe it's your future, your children in the future, and your audience is your children 50 years hence when you think they're going to be writing their great memoir, My Father. Now that's not me, of course, but I'm just saying somebody else might be that with an audience. Maybe your audience is God, or at least what you call God, as those voices go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth in your head. Maybe it's your boss or some layer of bosses several times removed, that one day somebody is going to notice me. For a lot of us, it's somebody very physically present, maybe even in this room. But for a lot of us, it's simply that voice with no name. That voice with no name that's always in your head. Your ever-present partner, incessantly chatting you up. If people only knew. Who's your audience? Because that person all those people. Hello, my name is Legion. All those people, they're all keeping score. So that's the first. As we look at Herod and we think about his audience, who's your audience? My name is Legion. Who's keeping score? The second, turn it a little bit. If we can look from a sort of a distant way and think, who's my audience? Turn the second one around and say that my context, I want to personalize that, personify, my context is hungry to be made known. Now, what's a context? The word, a little bit of wordplay here. It's just a text along with. Quite literally, it's that thing or things. We often call them words. We text all the time. Text make up the function of what we read. But the text, the things that we weave, because it's just like a textile as well. The things that we weave are that are woven all around us all the time. What are those words and those things which are always weaving, writing, and weaving all around you? All those things that are weaving and writing all around you, and all of them hitting up against you, leaving their mark, so that we look like that the Jackson Pollock prints that we see and say, I could do that in 2 minutes. What are those contexts, those words, those things which are always around us, always throwing themselves up against us? Back to Herod, with a nod to Paul. Bono, you knew that was coming, wrote a great B-side called Salome back in 1992, I think, one of the Octung Baby B-sides, and it was called Salome. And he comes in so with such laser-like precision in that paradigm that we mockingbirders like so much, the simul justus et peccator, always righteous and sinful at the same time, where Bono, with the voice, assuming the voice of Herod, says, please, baby, don't bite your lip. Give you half what I've got. If you untie the knot, it's a promise. But then a few verses later, the begging starts, please, baby, please slow down. Baby, I feel sick. Don't make me stick to my promise. Now this dizzying and debauched 2:30 a.m. wine-drenched rave song that is that is Salome, U2's B-side. About three of us in this room would probably like it. It's got this incessant techno beat that's always thumping in the edge. The guitarist and the backup vocalist is always providing the context of Herod in the background, where he's just going very seductively and quietly. I'm going to do that. It's just the edge, just nailing it. And he's just throwing these marks up against Herod. It's at once Herod's audience and his context, to where Herod just comes down feebly, groping for salvation anywhere where he can find it. Baby, please slow down. I feel sick. Don't make me stick to my promise. But it was done. There's no excuse for Herod. This isn't a defense of Herod. It is an identification with Herod. All of these words in your audience, all of these words alongside, around us, within us, these persons, these places, these things, they're the opposite. They're the exact opposite of the theme of this conference. Grace. Rest. And the end of scorekeeping. Your audience and your context are everything but rest and grace. The word is hunger, and that word will never be satisfied. In a First Peter meets the one ring to rule them all sort of way, these words, these contexts, they roam seeking one to devour. And that someone is you, and that someone is me, and it's got to get you. Oh, it's got to get you. So what brings us to the end of these words? What brings us to the place where these devices and desires of our own hearts are satisfied? What quenches the hunger, full stop, till it's done? Well, it's my privilege in this small role at the conference to at this point just set the table, pass the baton over to Paul, and then tomorrow Frank will have a brief word, and then David and Paul again. And I'll come back and we'll offer a little bit. But this is setting the table, trying to pull out of us Herod, the hunger, the question of who is our audience? What is our context? But to close and just say, if anybody is here and they're wondering why, if you can begin to have just the tiniest bit of sympathy or compassion for Herod, the tiniest bit, you're in the right place. This is the word. Herod knew that he had a hunger, and there was nothing from this world that would satisfy that hunger. The edge would be back there the whole time. Got to get you. Got to. And it would never shut up. It would never shut up. Nothing from this world. But, as obviously we know, that appetite has something that nothing from this world will satisfy. But grace and rest is otherworldly. And that is good news. And that will be the end of scorekeeping. Amen.